This episode is brought to you by Fat Expats. It's the new expat magazine that's coming your way next month. If you'd like to find out more about it, head over to twofatexpats.com. You'll see a pop-up and you can sign up and we'll shoot you some information. Hello, Nikki Moffat, and hello to the Fatterati listening to our special edition of This Is My COVID-19 Life.
Hello, Kirsty Rice, and hello, Fatterati. I love
that word. So, Nikki, the idea of today's episode is we get a quick snapshot of what COVID-19 is like in all of our different locations.
Yeah. So we've talked about what it's looking like in Doha, Germany, and Australia, but now it's time to hear from the Fatterati all around the world and to hear what it's like where they are.
Exactly. And we know that anyone can Google right now and see updates from anywhere, but we wanted to hear it straight from the Fatterati's mouth. So let's get started with Megan, who's in Nepal. She's in Kathmandu. And Nikki, imagine five teachers in the same house trying to teach at the same time.
Hi, this is Megan and I live in Kathmandu. I'm a teacher teaching here in an international school and we're trying to teach via Zoom at the moment, which is problematic in a country without always reliable internet, especially when there are five teachers in the house trying to do the exact same thing all streaming at once. It's also problematic for our students that can't always connect. We've got lots of problems trying to make this as effective as we can. For the general population here in Nepal, it can be really tricky. Many people can't just lock down the way that we can so easily because they live day to day. They earn enough money to get what they need and they can't store up food and they don't have money to last in a crisis like this. There's a lot more gardening going on at the moment. Lots of people, most people have their own gardens here anyway for food, but there's a lot more of that going on. Yeah, so it's difficult and it's problematic, but we are doing our best and so far, most of us are safe and we don't have many cases. So that's really something to be thankful for. We've only had four recorded cases here, one right at the start of the crisis who came from China, but they were isolated and got better. And we've currently have three cases that are confirmed. Two of those people traveled here from France with it. And one of those people who got it here is married to one of those people. So we don't have much spread, although it's possible that we do. We just don't have reported cases because people aren't getting tested. I think some people are afraid to go and get tested here. We've been in lockdown since before any of this happened in an attempt to stop the spread, and it does seem to be working because when things go bad here, they will go really bad. They will probably spread far and wide, and unfortunately the healthcare system is inadequate to deal with it. So at the moment we're doing okay. And hopefully it stays that way.
Hopefully it does. I cannot even begin to imagine the internet in Nepal and having five teachers in the same house. And I've actually seen some great photos of Megan in the group where she and her housemates were doing like a TikTok style videos in a car where they were singing different songs. Their ISO life was just top notch. So we got a lot of intel from Switzerland, I have to tell you, Kirsty. So here is our first message from there.
This is Lisa from Zurich in Switzerland. Our lockdown has been extended by a week until the 26th of April, and there afterwards the government are expecting to start reopening things slowly. They've yet to decide what new normal looks like, so we don't really know when schools will go back or when we can go back to work. The next meeting they're having is going to be on Thursday the 16th of April, when all that will be discussed and hopefully we'll have some more information then. My company itself said they're aiming for the beginning to middle of May with a slow opening, probably only starting with emergency appointments. I'm an optometrist, so I do have to work relatively close with other people when doing my job. And therefore, we are going to reorganise things, how we work in our store, so that not everybody has to have close contact with the customers. Certain food items here sold out at the beginning, but now we can get almost everything. We've been lucky enough that throughout we've been able to go out and exercise and shop as normal, although obviously most of the shops are closed, just supermarkets and pharmacies and such like that are open. My husband works from home normally, but has regular business trips abroad, which haven't happened. My daughter is really over homeschooling, and although she doesn't enjoy school, she really can't wait to get back and see her friends in person. Most people here have been relatively sensible, but we see people walking out together who are obviously not part of the same family. They tend to walk on opposite sides of the footpath, making it really difficult to pass them without going too close. We did actually manage to be able to get hold of our favourite chocolate from Switzerland online because the stores were closed, and I did manage to organise an egg hunt for my daughter. So at least we managed to have fun, and the weather was nice as well at the same time. I do know a couple of people who had COVID-19 or probably had COVID-19. A friend of mine had breathing difficulties and all the other symptoms, but not too bad, and was told she was too young to be tested. And if she got any worse, to let them know again, but she actually started getting better. Another friend of mine, or a colleague of mine from work, he actually ended up being admitted to hospital with breathing difficulties and on oxygen and being treated for bacterial lung infection at the same time. And he spent almost a week in hospital and is currently at home in his second week of recuperating, officially on holiday this week. They were both relatively fit people who aren't really ill. And so it did really make you realise that it could affect anybody, not just people that they're talking about in the news, the elderly and those who have poor immune systems.
Okay, Nikki, we're going to stay in Switzerland, but this time it's Aussie Lisa. Now, I loved Lisa's definition of the difference between a I love Switzerland Day and I hate Switzerland Day. Let's have a listen.
Just in response to your request on Facebook to let you know what different Federati's situations is. I live in Switzerland. I've been here just on 5 years, and I think it depends if I'm having an I hate Switzerland or an I love Switzerland day as to how it's all going. The Swiss love rules, so they're quite compliant to the different measures the cantons have put in place. We have been the highest number of in reported cases per capita in the world for some time now, not highly reported, but they're only testing really high-risk people. If I'm having a I love Switzerland day, then I think we're doing pretty well. We've got beautiful landscape to look at. No one's freaking out with panic buying and you know, generally speaking, everyone's calm and being respectful of social distancing and all that sort of jazz. If I'm having an I hate Switzerland day, we've gone from what some might consider a fairly boring existence. You know, I guess it depends on what you compare it to, but, you know, there's just not as much to do as what we were used to back home in Australia. So it's gone from being boring to really, really boring and tedious. Additionally to that, we were due to move this summer and that has been pushed back to Christmas. So that for me was highly frustrating. You know, we had gone through the process of organising schools and kids doing testing, and now that's all been put on hold. So for me, that was a real challenging adjustment in my head, and with too much time on my hands, just that didn't fester so well. But we just, at the moment, kids have just started school holidays. They've had 4 weeks online learning, which has been brilliant. Our international school has done, in my opinion, a grade A job in how they ran that. It was, it's been really, really good so far. So very thankful for that. School holidays might be a different story, but you know what? I'm just ignoring previous screen time recommendations. And you know what, kids, knock yourselves out, do what you like. See me in a couple of weeks with square eyes and, you know, we'll all survive. So hope you and all your family are well. Thanks so much for your podcast. I love it.
Kirstie, I haven't lived in Houston, but you have. So have a listen to Sarah and tell us what you think.
It's Sarah from Houston, Texas, just giving you an update on where we are here. We're in nearly week five. It was 5 weeks this Friday since they first closed the schools. And that was the same time they started to close our public spaces. It feels like it's been a long time and it's already feeling strangely normal now to be in this situation. And lots of people in the city think that our city preempted the issue. We didn't have many cases and they could all be traced back to foreign travel at that point. And then there was one case of community spread and the person infected had visited the rodeo. It's a cascade of closures, really, public spaces, theatres, museums. The rodeo itself closed. You can imagine, having been here, I'm sure, that that was major news. Houstonians were all very supportive of Austin closing South by Southwest, but not their rodeo. The county judge and the mayor do seem to be taking a lot of advice from the Med Center chiefs. They always come together to the press conferences. And I think they may have been instrumental in making that decision to lightly lock down the city, because it is a really light lockdown. I know we're in a much better situation than many places. We can go out for walks. We can drive to places to walk. We can get restaurants to go, coffee shops to go. Lots of places like DIY stores, garden centres are still open. But it's been like this for nearly 5 weeks. So I feel they went early, but maybe they preempted what was coming in the other major cities and kept the numbers down to a manageable level and a situation that most of the public don't complain about too heavily. And it's been well supported here. It's not been too difficult compared to other places. We've been watching the UK, obviously British, with interest. My parents were with us because it was going to be spring break. And they shut the schools the day before spring break. They had to go back quickly that weekend because the US also put restrictions on the UK, and that was going to limit the flights back. They could get back, but it would have been the flights that were the problem. And they were going back to a situation where we were already shut down on public spaces, rodeos, restaurants, and they were going back to the UK, which was still not doing that. So it was odd at first to see the contrast, but now I really appreciate the lightness of the lockdown. It's been easier to live with for sure. I think we all do have concerns, though, as everybody does globally. Where do we go forward? The city has very few tests. It's run at a federal level. We run the facilities locally, but the actual testing and numbers are given out federally. And they've been doing 250 a day at two test centres. So we've had 500 a day for the city, which is 2.3 million people. And the greater area, I think, has one or two more test centres of 6.9 million people. So we were looking at about 1,000 a day, and they've just doubled that. So the whole Greater Houston area may see 2,000 tests a day at max going forward, but that doesn't really help open up the situation. And I think that's what people are most fearful of here. Where do we go forward? Schools end in the end of May here, so no one believes that they're going to get the schools back. Unlikely, I think. So we're probably being out now end of March till end of August, which is a long time.
I think Sarah said what we've all said. It's all feeling strangely normal. It's amazing how quickly we've all adapted to this, isn't it? Yes. Now, you know, we all knew that things had got very serious when the rodeo got cancelled in Houston, or the rodeo, as they would say. It's kind of like when the Stampede was cancelled in Calgary, or the Echo was cancelled in Brisbane. That's when anybody with a cowboy hat said, oh my, this is serious. My goddaughter's in Houston and she's missing her graduation and her prom because school isn't going back. And it's not really something you can go back and do again next year, is it? Okay, let's hear from Kylie, who's usually in PNG, but now she's in Queensland.
My name's Kylie. I currently am an expat in Papua New Guinea. Both my husband and I work in Papua New Guinea, and my two kids are at boarding school in Brisbane in Australia. My husband happened to be online when Scott Morrison announced he was bringing in the 14-day isolation period, and so he went straight to the airport to see if there was any more flights out of PNG that day while I packed. We happened to get on the last flight out of New Guinea that would make it into Australia before we had to isolate. And so I got on that within the next 3 hours and landed in Australia in Cairns, then made my way to Brisbane. So I've been in Brisbane for 4 weeks now. We don't have a residence in Australia. I spent a couple of weeks with a friend while the kids finished school, and I picked them up, and now I have a hire car and am staying in an Airbnb up at Mullaney, which is quite isolated, which is great. School starts for us on Monday the 20th of April. I believe I could possibly put both of my kids into their individual schools, into the boarding house, if I wanted to. But I can't get home to New Guinea anyway, so I may as well have them with me and just enjoy the time I get to be with them. So I have rented another Airbnb in Brisbane with Wi-Fi, and I'll be with them for the online learning for the next 5 weeks. Hopefully after that I know whether I'll be able to fly back into Papua New Guinea or not. And hopefully Papua New Guinea can keep the virus at bay. There's only been the one or possibly two cases at this stage. Well, the first guy was exported out of the country. And in fact, they've been in lockdown from a lot earlier than Australia has been. So they're trying to do the right thing up there. It just leaves us sort of in limbo at the moment, but we're a lot luckier than a lot of other people too.
Well, Kylie's got it all going on. She's living apart from her husband. She's got boarding school kids and temporary housing, and it's all happening for Kylie. Next is Jane, fabulous Jane from the Fatarati, and Jane is in Shanghai.
Hi, this is Jane in Shanghai, been back 2 months. We're in our new normal now. We wear masks when we're out. We have our temperature taken 5, 10, 15 times a day, entering every building. Work is open. We wear masks in the office. We have to have our QR codes. So a green QR code means you can go out and about. Red means you have to stay indoors and quarantine for 14 days until you go green. Open restaurants and cafes and bars, though bars are not as popular because when you get drunk, you get a bit close sometimes. Supermarkets are open. We've never had any limitations so far, nothing running out. But with the lack of stuff coming into China, we're already thinking that some of our favourite international foods might run out. So we're enjoying them while we've got them and planning to eat more local once they run out. Great, the new normal. It's different, but it's normal. We get on with our lives. And schools should be opening in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So Chinese schools open on the 27th of April, so we're hoping international schools will open soon afterwards. So there is hope. It's good the other side. Just, you know, it's normal. It's a new normal. Just keep looking forward to it.
Now, I've also seen Jane's updates on Facebook, and I think she's going viral because her details are so good. And I was thinking about it, like, what is it that we are all hanging on every word from China? And I guess it's because they're the ones that are giving us hope, aren't they, that life will return to normal, that we will once again eat in a restaurant. So be it, even if it's with masks and temperature checks and QR codes and social distancing. But in the same vein as Jane, we've had Becca, who's in Chengdu. Have a listen, Nikki.
Hey, this is Becca. I'm an international school principal in Chengdu, China. Currently, my days look a lot like staying at home a whole bunch to work. We're to a place where we actually can go out a bit more, but my job takes up a good amount of my days, so I have my little desk in my living room. I live alone, and so I can kind of take over my living room with work during the week and look out over the city that is slowly but surely coming back to life. We certainly do have more than enough toilet paper and rice and all the staples of living in China, but I can definitely relate to how my friends in the rest of the world are feeling right now, because it was a trying situation when this all started back a couple of months ago. But I'm just thankful for technology, and it's been amazing connecting with friends around the world more than ever before. I feel like my friends in the U.S. staying home is kind of like me living on the other side of the world. We're only a phone call away, and now they have the time and see the need to do that a little bit more often. So it's a strange blessing this season. But I think I'm so thankful for you guys, and just thank you for bringing the global community together and for doing that long before coronavirus put us all inside.
Okay, so for an international school principal, Becca sounds pretty chill to me. I'm not sure that I could be that calm. But in a different part of Germany from me, and perhaps without the teen online schooling, here is Ruthie. But I can certainly relate to her shopping issues. Have a listen.
My name is Ruthie, and I'm an American living in Essen, Germany. I'm working from home, so my days are still quite busy, which I'm really grateful for. In the evenings and on the weekends, I'm cooking a lot, trying new recipes and cleaning, organizing, reading, finding ways to kind of keep myself occupied. I just started a new puzzle. In terms of what grocery stores and stuff looks like, it's mainly been toilet paper, flour, pasta that seems to have been missing from the shelves, hand sanitizer, obviously, and disinfectant. It seems to be getting a bit better. Now it's hit or miss if you find stuff, but still still not fully stabilized. I'm so grateful for the expat community here. Although I can't see them, we don't actually get together anymore. We do communicate still quite a bit via WhatsApp and Skype. And that's been such a huge support for me. Thank you, ladies, for what you're doing, and looking forward to the next podcast.
Nikki, have you noticed there's a familiar theme of pasta, podcasts, and puzzles here? Okay, Steph has moved from Shanghai to Berlin in Germany and thankfully has a very optimistic view of life. Have a listen to what she's been up to.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Stephanie. I just moved from Shanghai, China to Berlin, Germany on January 1st, 2020. And I was finishing up a two-month German intensive course, and I was deciding to take March off, and I was going to start looking for work and settling in to Germany. And then it hit. So what am I doing instead? I'm still applying for jobs, but I'm getting a lot of, the position's on hold kind of emails. So I've decided to do a two-month intensive course with a huge community aspect to it, online, of course. And so I'm doing that. I'm taking like 3-hour walks in the park, listening to books and podcasts, at least as long as we can. And I'm listening to audiobooks. And I'm cooking. That's all I'm doing. Thank you so much. Bye.
I have to say, we have had quite a few messages from Steph over the podcast time, and she's always very optimistic. So it is nice to hear that. Now we're moving on to Suzanne, who's in a place that I would not have thought to think about with the lockdown, and that is Puerto Rico.
This is Suzanne Termat in Puerto Rico, and we are entering our second full month of quarantine. Up until Easter Sunday, we had driving restrictions that we could only drive Monday, Wednesday, Friday for an even plate and Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for an odd plate between 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. And the rest of the hours were curfew. And in those times, we could only go to the bank, the pharmacy, the grocery store, or the doctor. And otherwise, everybody's inside. No beaches, no parks, no playgrounds, no going out for a run, no walking your dogs, nothing. Otherwise, you can be arrested and or fined. On Easter Sunday, the rules changed. We're now extended until May 3rd, but the curfew is 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., and there are no even odd license plate issues, but still only allowed to go to those four locations. As much as you hear New York has the most strict guidelines, or another state has the most strict guidelines, Puerto Rico actually was the first one to institute the quarantine and has had the strictest quarantine. They're also checking temperatures at the airport, and the governor has asked for FAA to shut down the airlines because we still have tourists coming here, but they have not. So that's where most of the spread is coming from. Any questions? I'm happy to answer. Thanks.
You know, that even an odd license plate just took me back to Jakarta. And they did the same thing about being on the freeway and getting into the city. Like on some days, people with odd plates could drive in, and some days people with even, like to try and get the traffic off the road. So it's interesting seeing how it gets used elsewhere. I was also, I don't know how long ago we got Suzanne's message, but the fact that they were still letting tourists go there, and I wonder if that's changed since Suzanne recorded her message. Suzanne, we'd love an update if you're around, if you want to let us know what Puerto Rico looks like now. Okay, we're nearly at the end of it, the penultimate. Here's Karen in Vanuatu.
Well, I'm Karen Childs, and I'm blessed to be living in Vanuatu. Vanuatu is a nation in the South Pacific comprising more than 80 islands. If you're trying to visualise where we are, imagine about a 3-hour flight northwest of Auckland, New Zealand, or the same flight time northeast from Brisbane, Australia. And then you've found us. For history buffs, Vanuatu was previously the New Hebrides, a condominium ruled jointly by the British and the French. Independence was gained in 1980, making this July the 40 years anniversary. There are no reported cases of COVID-19 here. The borders have been strictly closed for nearly 4 weeks. The last incoming passengers were quarantined for 14 days. The government is taking this threat very seriously. The majority of local Ni Vanuatu live communally in villages, and community spread would have tragic effects. There is a state of emergency in effect, but it's not too restrictive, and it allows the government to act immediately to any changing environment. Yesterday, a group of us were so fortunate to have enjoyed lunch together at a local restaurant. The impact of closed borders is massive, though. The economy relies heavily on tourism. So no tourists equals closed resorts and businesses and unemployment. This flows throughout society and affects locals and expats alike. Add in the challenge of Cyclone Harold, a Category 5 cyclone, or that's a Category 4 hurricane. It came here 10 days ago, caused major damage in the less populated Northern Islands. The authorities are standing resolute on the closed borders, accepting aid items but not personnel. Aid flights have been received from New Zealand, Australia, France and China. We are very privileged to be able to follow a mostly normal life here and are very mindful that many friends and family overseas are living in lockdown or under strict isolation elsewhere, along with the many who are separated from loved ones at the present. Most of our own families are in New Zealand. When will we be able to be together next? We do wonder what the new normal will be. Take care, everyone. Love this group. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Another island paradise. It's interesting to hear about the islands, the small islands and the big islands, like Australia, Kirsty. Here's our final one. And Kirsty, how does dating look in the time of corona? Here's Emily in Singapore.
I joined Two Fat Expats in January 2020 when COVID started. Someone in my Singapore expat Facebook group posted about it. Ever since, I've really appreciated the podcasts, Facebook lives and posts. I'm an expat living in Singapore for a few years and have just done week 9 of working from home. I work in the genre of finance. Working from home is okay, but my days are up and down. It can be tough when more bad global news circulates. The circuit breaker was implemented here on Tuesday, and this has changed things quite a bit for me. I've been dating a local guy for 6 months, and we can now no longer see each other because of social distancing. We live at separate addresses, and with the new bill passed in Singapore, we can't socialise or work out with people who we don't live with. This is extremely tough when we've been used to seeing each other very often. We video call, including virtual breakfast together and timing the start of Netflix shows together, so we're doing the best we can. This is one of the hardest parts of current living for me. I'm very mindful that other people have things a lot tougher. I'm grateful I'm allowed out to go and buy food and exercise. I've noticed public parks recently have gotten crowded, so I've opted to do laps in the quiet car park or around the community gardens as an alternative. I'm signed up to the government WhatsApp group, which I find really good. A couple of updates each day, with the last one in the evening with the case numbers. Recently, numbers are just under 200 and the 8th death was sadly announced. Schools are all closed and home-based learning is in place. Many volunteers and ambassadors are also in place to keep help social distancing rules. The current end date of the circuit breaker is May the 4th, which I'm praying for. I'm not religious.
Oh, God, if dating wasn't hard enough, Rona had to turn up and sit at the table. Mickey, I feel like I've just been around the world in about 20 minutes and I loved hearing from the Fatterati. I wish we could do this more often and that people, you know, got into the habit of talking to us, because I know it's a little bit scary to get in there and give your update. But if you want to, if you think, well, out where I am right now is pretty unique and I have a story to tell, just shoot us a DM on Facebook. You can leave a little message, you know, even by using your iPhone or Android. You can do that on Messenger, or you could leave a recording on the Two Fat Expats website, which is easy. You just go to twofatexpats.com and there's a little microphone that you can click on. All right, Nikki Moffat, I'm going to see you tomorrow on Facebook Live. We will have Friday night drinks. See you then.
I might have Friday morning drinks. Okay. I'll see you then. Bye-bye, Kirsty.
Bye.